So, brothers and sisters, today we are celebrating and we are rejoicing because a Savior has come, and we worship God because the Savior of the world has become our Savior, and we glorify God. Praise the name of the Lord. The story is told of a young lady in the cold part of December. Her name was Pauline, a young woman from the heart of Kingston. She was traveling alone up the rugged and winding narrow cliff hanging and pothole riddled roads from the Papine community to the Blue Mountains. The story continues that Pauline didn't know you don't travel to the Blue Mountains alone in a rundown Toyota Starlet. So she set off where only four-wheel drive Toyota Prados normally venture. The first evening, she found an Airbnb room at a guest house to rent in the mountains and asked for a 5 a.m. wake-up call so she could get an early start. She couldn't understand why the receptionist looked surprised at the request. But as she awoke to early morning fog that was absolutely so thick that you could cut it, she understood. Not wanting to look foolish, she got up and went to the breakfast. Two pickup truck drivers invited Pauline to join them. And because the dining area was so small, she obliged to join them. "Where are you headed?" one of the drivers asked. "Blue Mountain," she replied. "In that little rickety-tickety broken-down Starlet? No way. This pothole winding narrow road is dangerous in weather like this," replied one of the drivers. "Well," she said, "I'm determined to try." "Then we're just going to have to hug you," the driver suggested. Pauline drew back. "That's no way. Or rather, there's no way I'm going to let you touch me." "Not like that," the drivers laughed. "We'll put one pickup in front of you and one in the rear. In that way, we'll get you through the mountains." All that foggy morning, Paulette followed the two red dots in front of her and had the reassurance of a big F-150 escort behind as they made their way safely through the mountains. Caught in the fog, in our dangerous passage through life, we need to be hugged. Yes, with fellow Christians who know the way and can lead safely ahead of us, and with others behind us gently encouraging us along, we too can pass safely. The subject we'll be focusing on throughout this month in our denomination right across Jamaica, and indeed at Waltham Park, is the subject of fellowship. The subject of fellowship. The story above shows the importance of fellowship. Indeed, fellowship is critical for human survival. It is also a very joyous experience. Isolation and separation can be a very sad and lonely feeling. Anybody has ever felt, separated and isolated from persons? It's a very low feeling. Many persons experience this kind of emotions during this season. When you lose someone or experience a breakup in your relationship or experience great sickness, a loss of employment, or a shattering of business, you really can feel isolated and separated. You can feel alone. On top of that, for 2020 is this pandemic that is on us, that has truly altered our lives in ways that are so inconvenient, uncomfortable, and very unbearable. Just putting on a mask can be very uncomfortable. In fact, many of you are here today and you're feeling uncomfortable right now seated in front of me with that mask on. Some persons even say to me, Pastor, I can't come to church because of the mask. It's very difficult to handle. So I congratulate those of you who have come today with the mask. The story about the shepherds at the birth of Jesus is a story about lonely men. Yes, men on a hillside without happiness and without any hope. Men that could do well with some very good fellowship. They needed a let's get together experience, just like some of us today. So therefore, I use for a topic of this sermon today, let's get together and... Where is the holiness? The first observation, therefore, we make in the story of the shepherds right there in the Christmas period is that of people on periphery. People on periphery. Indeed, these shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night represent a segment of the population that were on the periphery. Yes, they were on the perimeter, on the edge, on the border of society. At this time in history, shepherding was a despised occupation. So says Alan Culpepper, Dean of the School of Theology at the Mercer University. He continues by saying that in the first century, shepherds were scorned. Shepherds were shiftless. Yes, in other words, they were dishonest people who grazed their flocks on lands that were belonging to others. It is further said that the shepherds were barred from observing ceremonial law. They often confused what is thine from what is mine, meaning they were thieves. In addition, they were unreliable, and therefore their testimony was not allowed even in a court of law. Essentially, these shepherds came from a despised class that was not trusted and that was looked down upon. These shepherds were the castaway of the society. These shepherds were totally disrespected and never honored. They were on the fringes. And so many of us, brothers and sisters, do not even recognize that there are many persons in our society on the fringes. They are not in the center. They are not the popular ones. They are not the celebrated ones. They are not the many with lots of resources. In fact, this Christmas season, they are not going to have a Merry Christmas. They are on the fringes. And you know, they have pointed out over and over again, economists, that the world is becoming more and more separated. Where the rich, they are getting richer, and the poor, they are getting poorer. They say that the divide is increasing, that the gap, that the chasm, that the vacuum between the rich and the poor is getting wider and wider and wider. And because of that, many who are in the center don't even see those who are on the edges. Because those who are on the edges, they are getting further and further away physically to those who are in the center. And you know what happened, brothers and sisters? The sad thing about it, they have pointed out, I heard in a news release the other day, is that this pandemic, COVID, is seemingly going to separate the rich from the poor even further. That more and more persons are losing jobs. More and more businesses are going southward. That more and more resources are getting less and less, not only in Jamaica, but around the world. And so the poor is finding it very, very difficult to survive. We're going to have to change that. And we want to thank God for clubs like the Kiwanis Club that is making sure, they are making sure that children don't go to bed hungry, that children can have hope, that children can find a future. And so we recognize today the South St. Andrew Kiwanis Club, and we salute you for the work you're doing under the presidency of our own member of this congregation. Give them a hand today. Amen. Well, sisters and brothers, as we look at the reality of people on the periphery, the second observation we make in the text is that of people reaching people. People reaching people. It is interesting to look at Matthew's gospel, which is a gospel that we are not looking on today. Today we are looking on the gospel of Luke. But in Matthew's gospel, Matthew is interested in the advancement of the kingdom of God and the kingship of Jesus. No wonder he was consumed and concerned with the men from the east, the sophisticated men who came looking for Jesus, riding into town. No wonder he spoke about the gifts of gold and frankincense of myrrh. No wonder he was interested in telling the story about these men losing their way and stopping at the palace of King Herod. No wonder he traced the lineage of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The very first verse of Matthew, as he engages his book, he begins to look at the lineage of Jesus coming from King David and coming from Abraham the patriarch. But Luke was a different kind of a writer. He was more concerned with those on the periphery. He was concerned with those on the perimeter, those on the outskirts of society. Hence, he didn't speak about the wise men as Matthew did. He spoke of the lowly shepherds in the middle of the night on the hillside, looking after their flocks by night. Thankfully, Jesus in his mission statement clearly outlined that it was to these persons that he came. In the same book of Luke, we notice him saying in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, when he became an adult and was entering into ministry, you know the verse very well. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty." Somebody say, to set at liberty. This is very, very important. To set at liberty. In other words, to bring freedom and liberation. Yes, that is what Jesus came to do. To set, somebody repeat it for me again. To set at liberty. That's right. To set at liberty them that are bruised. And how often we see bruised people walking around in this nation. Hurt people, scarred people, scarred by fathers and uncles and cousins that have sexually abused in an incestuous manner so many of our children, scarred by bosses that have fired and terminated workers in a very unjust way, scarred and hurt by dons and leaders in communities that behave as if they are in charge and they were not even voted for. So many bruised persons are in this nation, hurt and upset, damaged property, the image of God they were made in. But because of the inconsistencies and the sins of society, they have been hurt and they have been damage. In the name of Jesus, we say it is time for liberation, time for deliverance, time for some churches to rise up and to go into communities where some prostitutes are in this very nation that are being used as slaves. They need deliverance in Jesus' name. Somebody worship the name of the Lord. If we're going to be true, authentic Christians, we must be like Jesus. Look out for the poor. Look out for the brokenhearted. Look out for the captives. Look out for the blind. Look out for the bruised. It is when we say to them, let's get together and feel all right, that we will experience a better and a brighter world. That is what this world needs today. It needs persons who will reach out and touch somebody's hand and make this world a better place, because we can. For this Christmas, let us get together with some weaker persons than ourselves and let us make them feel all right. Some of us may be living in a little poverty situation, but for everybody, we can find somebody that is worse off than us. You don't have a job, but look how you look pretty today. Look how you look pretty today. Somehow no spiked heel high, you know, man. But not now, go on, you know, but you're pretty like. As some of our Christians stay, we know how to rejoice in hard times. Things are rough, but when you look for we, it look like we are flourish. Nobody is seeing the hardship, because we know how to rejoice even in the midst of a pandemic. Anybody knows how to rejoice in the midst of a pandemic? Things rough, but we can still lift up our hands and shout a hallelujah. Things are hard. The fridge is empty. We have to plug out appliances, but God is still a good God. We are still confessing that the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What a God. What a God people. What a goddemic people them. When things are rough, we are still saying that things are already better. Things are already better, because the Lord is on my side, and things are, we don't see the better yet, you know, but we feel that something is coming. We feel that weeping is enduring now for a night, but joy is coming in the morning, and sometimes even in the midnight hour. Ah, mighty God, we are still feeling the spiritual vibes, because we are close to our God, and the word of God says that in his presence there is, and at his right hand, pleasures. Even when things are rough, as long as we're at the right hand of God, amen, even when white squall are gone, we can lift up our hands and rejoice, because we are in the presence. Anybody in the presence of God right now? Woo! Presence we in. When I'm in the presence of Larry, no matter what I go on, me feel good. Hallelujah. Today I saw her walking into church, and when she come and sat down near to me, even though we are supposed to be 6 feet apart, we just stretch and get her a little. I'm in the presence. Somebody say presence, no man. Oh, mighty God. Then if me can't go answer in the presence of my wife, warm to Jesus. What happened when I'm in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who supplies all of my needs, the one who heals me when I'm sick, the one who makes me glad when I'm sad. Ah, mighty God. That's why the writer says, I feel like running and what? Skipping and doing what? Praise the Lord for what he has done. Woo! Has Jesus done anything for you lately? Has Jesus done anything for you lately? Has he woken you up? Has he set you on your way? Hallelujah! Has he brought down the demonic powers that have come to upset your life?
Oh, if God has done something for you lately, somebody just lift up a hand right now. And come on. Exalt the name of the King of Kings, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open the gates. Let the King of Glory come right in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He is. Somebody say, He is. Woo. Hey. My God, that's my God. Hallelujah. That's my God. Amen. Can't get better than my God. Aye. Hallelujah. We worship our Lord and our Savior. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! And so, brothers and sisters, we meet the third lesson for the day, people meeting the prince. Wish we could talk a little more, but don't have enough time. People meeting the prince. And you know what I notice? When people met the prince, when the shepherds met the prince, we notice the Bible said that they were on the mountainside, in the fields, looking after their sheep. And it doesn't seem as if there is any conversation that was going on with the shepherds. They were just looking after the sheep. But you know what I notice? When the angel came, the Bible says that lo and behold, the angel just came into their space and said, behold, I bring you good tidings. Oh Lord, good tidings. That's what I love. Good news. Aye, good information. So many of us are getting some bad news today. Aye, Lord. And some of us love carry bad news, you see. It looks like so we become more popular. Let me have something to tell you. Lord, if you ever hear this now, and then the person says, so is what? Mrs. Me, I tell you that one you are rough, sir. And then you just, then tell me not, Lord, this is one you sit down. Let me tell you, you can't take it. Oh, some of us just love bad news. But glory be to God, when the angel came, there were a lot of bad news that could be given. But the angel chose to bring a good news. You must choose to bring good news. Hallelujah. When you hear some sus and some carry on and some carry me go bring come. You know them things that carry me. Same thing. Yeah. Those of you in the stream, type it for me and make me learn. Those some of us, we just love to bring poisonous information into the world. And we're just spitting out poisonous negative things into the atmosphere. Well, let us get positive, man. Let us get positive for Christmas. The angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings. And it's not just good tidings, but it will have an impact upon you. It will have an effect upon you. It is good tidings to the world, but inside of you, it will bring up great joy. It will bring great feeling. Hallelujah. Yes, my friends, the Bible says he gave me beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, that's my God. There is a God that is here today that is willing to bring a good news to you. Somebody just shout good news. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, you may not have heard some good news lately, but there is a God with some good news to you. There is an angel that is being dispatched into your space, into your situation, into your condition, and there is a good news that is coming. Hallelujah. That there is a God who provides, that there is a God who heals, that there is a God who delivers, that there is a God who liberates, that there is a God who set free. Anybody ready for the good news? Yes, my friends, and that is the news that God is giving to us today. That's the news that 14 persons got last week as they went into this pool and were baptized. Good news. Good news. Good news. And so for Christmas this year, we're going to create a let's get together and feel all right vibe. Those of you who can cook one more piece of chicken, cook the piece of chicken, man, and give it to somebody so that they can have a Merry Christmas. Those of you who can buy a little medication for somebody who needs a little more Brooklax. No, not Brooklax. No, no, it's not Brooklax. Sorry. Come on, Pastor. How did I get there? Come on. Panadol. Somebody is going to need some medication this week, this month, for Christmas, so that the pain can be eased. But somebody's also going to need Jesus. Yes, beautiful star of Bethlehem. Shine upon us until the break of dawn. We're looking for Jesus to become the light of the world, the light of Jamaica, the light of our own space. Let us stand.